Friends, this is going to be the greatest episode. I often say that, but this is going to be the greatest episode of all time.
All right.
Hey, this is James Jeffries here, Impact Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion, and you're listening to Uncharted Territory. The best wrestling stories and wrestling news are on this podcast. Check us out, brother.
Hello, and welcome to episode 177 of the Uncharted Territory podcast. My name is Chad Olson, coming to you tonight from Gilbert, Iowa, where we are under a severe thunderstorm warning, a tornado watch. We got storms. It's the end of the world, and I feel fine because I'm in my basement, and at least one of my dogs is down here. I don't know where my children, wife, or my other dog are. But first off, I would like to thank everybody, including Mr. Stuart Lowry, Mr. Grant Pachoco, and Mr. Jerry Briscoe, who all reached out to me on Saturday and said, "Are you okay because of the tornadoes?" And you know what I said, Tim? There were tornadoes in Iowa last night.
There you go.
Because it rained where I live, but there were no tornadoes. They were all south. But fortunately, other promoters in the path of the tornado, like Thomas Keene and Eric Nishi, were also okay. There was a tornado bearing down on IPW promoter Troy Peterson's house. It was coming towards his house. It was about 8 miles away, and then it lifted off the ground. And Tim did surmise that it did not want to face the wrath of Caroline, Troy's wife, who has used her mom voice before when a fight broke out at IPW, and she got on the microphone and said, "Everybody out." So I think she might.
I would not want to face the wrath of Caroline.
No, no, no. So, all right. Well, Tim, we heard you. Let's go to Buffalo, New York. Tim, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Chad. Interesting to see what tonight brings as far as the podcast goes. As far as weather here in Buffalo, it was a nice day today. It was 63 degrees. Somewhat sunny, I guess. You know, we never get really sunny too much here in Buffalo. So, somewhat sunny is the best we could do. What the forecast says, based on the temperature, this is probably Benadryl season. For some people, every season is fucking Benadryl season. So there you go. That's pretty much the weather here. And I think it's probably going to be right around there. It's going to be in the 60s and 70s for the next few days. So that's good weather.
Well, what the forecast is not showing up. It is 69 degrees. And it says,
shocking,
this is not the weather you are looking for. I would agree. The 1-2 punch of a severe thunderstorm warning until 7:15. So hopefully we'll get through the next 45 minutes, and then a tornado watch until 10 o'clock. Hmm. Yeah, good times here. And when I look at the map of the weather, it's orange and green and yellow and red, and lightning strikes everywhere. So good times.
Red and orange are not good.
No, they are not. So let's check on our favorite weather forecaster, prognosticator, and all-around weather observer, much like he is a wrestling observer, Stu Lowry in Virginia. How you doing, Stu?
Well, I'm doing pretty well, Chad. Here in Virginia IA, we have had a mixed bag of weather. We had the 60s up through Saturday, and then all of a sudden it became summer. It was 90 or thereabouts on Monday. That's a little hot even for Virginia this time of year.
Oh,
we have, usually a nice temperate climate, mild climate in spring, but that was nuts. And we got 80s for the rest of this week. Maybe the weekend we'll catch a break, get back down into the low 70s. That would be wonderful if we could. I'd like to see some 70s stick around for at least the first couple of weeks of May before it's hotter than hell for the rest of the summer. So looking forward to tonight. Maybe.
Yeah, and you'll notice some trepidation about the subject tonight. I'll clue you in on that after I introduce my baby brother Corey Olson in Maplewood, Minnesota. Corey, how are you?
I'm doing well, Chad. Thank you. Hello, everybody. Good to talk to you once again. Right now in the Twin Cities Maplewood area, it's about 64 degrees according to WT forecast on my phone. Got up to about 70 this afternoon. Beautiful, nice and sunny. But as I look out my little basement window, I'm starting to see clouds. And as I look at the forecast, well, first of all, WT forecast tells me, I wonder who stole your friggin' sunshine. Wasn't me. And it looks like we might get some thunderstorms and rain in an hour or two here. So hopefully that doesn't interfere with the electricity here. But what's electric tonight is this show, because it's shocking, so shocking that even three of us don't know what's going to happen.
Yes, so as I mentioned a little earlier, I think when we were recording, maybe it was just when we were having our preamble before the show, about an hour ago, as I sat down to think about tonight's podcast, which I usually think about it at least 24 hours in advance, I thought, man, my brain can't pull it together. It's been crazy busy at work, and maybe we should just cancel. And I said, no. Because I want to visit with my friends. I want to hang out with my friends. And I know at least, I don't know, maybe half a dozen people on the planet want to hear us talk. So I thought of a great idea. And I'm not going to tell it to you right now. So let's go on. So the Road to Galacticon starts on Sunday, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. Who is going to be having a burrito while on the virtual con? Anybody? Me? Maybe? I don't know.
I will be having a margarita while on the virtual
Oh,
con,
very good.
or seven, depending on how things go.
I might make a Oaxacan old fashioned.
Oh,
Depending on how long Rock goes.
that's true.
Oh, do we have a drinking game for Rock?
Oh, we might have rules by Sunday, May 5th, when you can sign up for the Road to Galacticon virtual con. I think we beat the horse dead about whether or not you need to be there. So whether or not you're there, sign up, get the cards, end of story. Word to your mother. We'll have Rock Riddle, we'll have some tournaments, we'll have a little bit of a visit with some Phil Singer Games staff or card volunteers like us. I think Tom will probably be there talking. And there will be an auction to benefit the Tragos Thez Hall of Fame, which we always appreciate. So, anybody else have anything about the Road to Galacticon?
I just say you'll get a card, and it's a great card, I think. We aren't even done with it yet. Tim's working on it, but it's going to be a great card for Cinco de Mayo.
I'm trying to
Very
narrow
good.
down the 1,000 moves that I've seen so far into 15 that I can put on a card.
There you go.
So
And
now start
speak
speculating,
there's your
promoters.
hint.
And then speaking of cards, last night Tim and I spent a good amount of time on another Zoom recording a stat review, which we'll put out after the TNT Hall of Fame is complete. So out of the TNT set, out of the Pro Prime set, we have all but two cards done, which I'll be finishing tonight. The book is done. Everything will be in Mike Molesky's capable hands, as well. Actually, we sent it to him already, except for the two cards, right? So he has them. They're in
Correct.
his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands and those things too.
Correct.
So very good. All right. And now for tonight's topic, which we'll get to after a listener question. We have a listener question from Michael Brada. Stuart and Tim, do you have any experience with payoff pitch baseball tabletop game? Have you ever played this or heard of this?
Go ahead, Tim. I do not, Michael.
Yeah, I don't. I know the company that kind of puts it out there. I think it's Sideline Sports. They also do the Glory Days boxing game and the college football game that Anthony Crooks is part of and does a great job on. I've seen it. I know of it, but I have never played it, unfortunately. So, Michael, if you have some experience with it, we'd love to hear what you think of it too. I mean, it's always kind of nice to hear what other people think about some of these other games, tabletop games out there. And you know, there's a ton of baseball ones out there, and some of them are even good. So I'd be interested if you have played it to hear your thoughts.
Well, as
You
luck would
know.
have it, he has. He
Oh,
sent me a
fantastic.
text. So on Sunday, he sent me a text. He said he went to a Play Games event in Wisconsin, Play with two A's,
Right.
yesterday, and someone gave him the game for free. That might be hint number one. He played a few sample innings there with Dave Little, who was also in attendance.
Nice.
Very good. Good to see Dave. A little more dice rolling and calculations than I'm used to in my sports game. Perhaps that is why he was given it for free. But yes, we can have Michael if you want to play it again, or let us know if you have any other comments on the game. Beyond that, we can have you on sometime. You can talk some baseball. Time for tonight's topic. And fans, if you don't like it, shut it off because it ain't going to get any better. So I have constructed one of my famous spinning wheels for spin the wheel, make the deal. Not a spinning, not to spin yarn, but it's a wheel numbered 1 through 10. And we will take turns spinning it. And then I will ask a question.
So we're making sweaters? Is that what we're doing? We've got
Yes,
a spinning. Okay,
I have
we're
a sheep over here and it's hooked to the spinning wheel and it will wind the wheel. So here, I'm going to
you've
share my
got yarn wrapped around Cooper, and we're just gonna.
actually April over here. I don't know where
Okay.
Cooper is. Okay, so I'm going to share my screen so you can
Oh
share in the
boy.
excitement of the spinning wheel. Okay, can you see the screen?
Yes, we do.
Yes.
All right, very good. All right, so we're going to spin.
Number picker wheel.
Oh, you
The
hear that
nose picker
noise?
wheel. I can't hear
Yes.
the noise. I
It's
can.
making a. Oh, number one! And it plays celebratory music and throws confetti. Okay. Question number one. We'll start with Stu. If you were a pro wrestler, what would your finishing move be?
Oh, wow. Well, let's see. Let's start with a very good question. Let's start with the fact that I'd probably want to be a heel, and I'd probably want to be a dastardly chicken shit heel. You know what? I'd go with a foreign object
All
because I'd
right.
want to generate some heat. I'm old school enough that I would really appreciate the opportunity to use that and really rile the crowd up. If it's the old days, I wouldn't want to get stabbed though, going back to the locker room. So I'll be a modern day heel with all that entails. But I'd go foreign object and wouldn't be anything close to that.
All right, very good. Corey.
I think I would go with my amateur wrestling roots. So I'd be either like, and I could play
Getting
either.
pinned?
Wow. Wow. Jackass.
Bada-bing.
Corey's already not liking the spin the
Corey
wheel,
hates
make the
this
deal
game.
topic.
Please continue, Corey.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm good.
Jackass. I would either go with I would go with a cradle move because those are fun pin moves, or I'd go with a guillotine, like a ladder, kind of like a lateral guillotine in pro wrestling, something like that. Something that could kind of be adapted to the pro wrestling style.
Okay, very good. Tim.
I try to find something that hasn't been used in a while. Like an older, and I know we, one we brought up last night when we were doing the stat review. I wouldn't mind having the Gibson leg lock for a finish.
There you
Because you just
go.
don't see a good Gibson leg lock anymore. I
You
mean,
don't.
Tim, what
It's
about,
about a crotch hole?
the crotch
Oh.
holds are always good too. You get a nice high crotch and slam and.
Yep.
You could always do that. I
Also an
mean,
amateur move.
very good.
And now promoters, you're going to start speculating because Tim said that one of the cards has a Gibson leg lock.
Actually, the card does not have a
Oh, you're
Gibson leg
right.
lock.
You're right.
It was in the running to have a Gibson
Never
leg lock.
mind.
That
Yeah,
was one of the
even more
moves that
speculation.
yeah.
But statistical analysis proved it to be not correct.
Correct.
Well, I hate to be cliche, but I would use a move that I've been trying to use on Corey for many years. It's my very dreaded super kick, which is a very, it
Oh,
usually hits about the shin,
yes.
but I've been doing it longer since the Bucks were alive, so it would still be cool because it'd be Chris Adams, Shawn Michaels, and then Chad Olsen.
And I think, Chad, you did that before Dude Love did the sweet shin music.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, so suck on that, Mick
I mean, we don't have to be like that, but. Okay, now let's spin the wheel. to figure out a way to pipe in this music.
The drama of the wheel spinning is, it's high drama.
Three!
Three!
All right. Here's a question. Are you usually early or late? Corey!
I like to be early. The rest of my family sometimes doesn't make that happen. But if it's up to me, if I've got full control, early.
All right. Tim!
Even though I was late to the podcast tonight, generally, I like to be early. I like to be on time. I had somebody tell me once, if you're 10 minutes early, you're late. So I always try to plan ahead and get places on time or a little early. So I would say early.
I have heard a similar statement. Stu.
Definitely early. Had that drilled in me at an early age, no pun intended. So yes, I shade towards being earlier rather than later.
All right. Well, that's a clean sweep for the Legends team. Unless it comes to submitting stats. Oh, wait, we did it one day early this
guys are
cycle.
Early.
Yeah, this year, we're doing really well. We're getting our stuff in early. All right. Let's see. Let's start with Tim. Do you have any phobias?
I'm trying to think. I don't know if I really do. I mean, I'm not, you know, fond of like you, I'm not overly fond of snakes.
Correct.
But I'm not, I don't like being in water.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I can't swim.
Right.
And I'm not fond of even if I'm in like the shallow end of the pool, I just don't want to be in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess that would probably, be the one that I would think of. I just don't like being, I don't mind like being in a, on like a boat. That doesn't mm-hmm. bother me at all. But actually being in water is not a thing for me. I'm not a fan.
All right. Corey.
I do get a little bit claustrophobic. You know, not as severe as other people do, but yeah, I tend to get a little freaked out when I get kind of in crowded places and things like that.
Okay. Stuart.
As I've gotten older, definitely a fear of heights. I didn't used to have that as a kid, but as I got older, that just kind of sprang out of nowhere. So if I'm in a high place, I'm not really loving it.
Okay.
I mean, I can fly. I fly a reasonable amount, but if I'm up, you know, like up in the Sears Tower or something like that, not my favorite thing in the world.
Okay. As Tim mentioned, I'm not fond of snakes. I'm not actually as afraid of them as I used to be, as like, we were at the zoo and when my twins were very young, maybe like, I don't know, six or so, and they had a python and it was all balled up, and Catherine was scared to go pet it. I said, well, let's go over and pet it. And I couldn't see its head, so I was okay. I just didn't want to see its snake face. But now, since during the pandemic, Catherine started watching this freaking show about a reptile place up in St. Paul. We stopped by there once, Corey, and so we went in there, and it's like an old, I don't know what the hell it is, hardware store or something. It's got all these.
Did you just say you stopped it in a reptile place?
No, reptile. No. Reptile.
Oh, okay.
Reptile.
Okay.
That's in Vegas. In Vegas, we go to those places.
Okay.
Yes. So and that place was like aquariums, enclosures, floor to ceiling, completely surrounded by snakes. That I wasn't super comfortable with and just stayed in the middle of the room. But I at least went in there. So I'm trying to be a little better and support my children. Next spin. Oh, what the? It's stopping. Maybe it's
a lively wheel too.
Number two. All right. Corey, what is your favorite drink?
Are we talking alcoholic, non-alcoholic, any
of the above? Whatever you want, both.
I'll do each category. So non-alcoholic, probably coffee. Pretty much have to have it every day. And alcoholic, I mean, I like beers. I mean, it's I do like my old fashions too. I don't make them as much as I used to, but I do enjoy a good old fashioned. More the Wisconsin style, not so much Chad's dirty Mississippi style, but more of the traditional Wisconsin style.
You realize they have the dirty Mississippi ones in Wisconsin.
Well, where you go in Wisconsin, yes, but the places I go in Wisconsin, I'm sure they have them, but if you order an old fashioned, the dirty Mississippi won't be like their first pick.
Stuart.
Well, come on.
Come on, Chad.
Is this even why do we even ask, Stu? It's
I just
like, why don't we ask him
curious.
what his second favorite drink is? I mean, because we all know
What's
what
your
number
second
one is.
favorite drink, Stu?
Well, chocolate milk.
There you go.
Have the taste buds of an 8-year-old. If we're talking alcohol, if I'm at like a mixer or some kind
A mixer,
of whatever,
a sock hop.
a work function,
Okay.
probably Scotch on the Rocks. And if I'm just like at a ball game or something like that, just good old beer is fine with me. But eggnog, hands down.
All right. It could have been, like, I don't know, moonshine or something, and he just didn't want to have it on the air with us there, so we didn't think he was a hillbilly.
No shine.
No shine, no time for shine. All
That's
right.
a little southern stereotyping.
Him.
I would say probably for me, it's probably coffee for non-alcoholic as well. For alcohol, I mean, I'm pretty much an I'm a I love them all. I'm kind of a bourbon guy, so I like a decent bourbon. I like red wine. I do like different beers. I like an amber beer. Those are kind of my favorites. But yeah, I'm pretty much all over the place when it comes on the alcoholic side. I can do it all.
All right. Well, my favorite non-alcoholic these days is this purple Powerade Zero. There's a bit of a supply chain issue, but I'm able to get it most of the time. I do miss beer. I miss craft beer a lot, but it hurts my tummy now, so I don't drink it. So yeah, probably old fashions or my long time standby, the Canadian Club, with a little bit of 7-Up. That I can do. All right, spin the wheel. Number 10. All right. What is your favorite pro wrestling memory? How about Stu?
Wow. Can it be a match? Can it be?
Be whatever you want. It's your memory of pro wrestling.
Man, I don't know. There's about a billion. I'm going to say, I'm going to lump it all together because to me, this was eye-opening and just really sticks out in my memory. It's the first time in the first tape I ever had of wrestling in Japan and being just so blown away by the product and how physical it was and how it was presented more as sport. And I can't even tell you who was in the match. I'm sure Misawa had something to do with it, or Kobashi, or both of them. And I just it was a watershed moment for me because I was really starting to get back into wrestling at that time. And the American Feds still weren't doing it, or American promotions still weren't really doing it for me, but that stuff just blew my socks off. And I cherish getting all those tapes. I still have all those tapes. I haven't looked at them in years, but and the match quality on those tapes would be awful now by comparison to what we can get. But it was a really cool time in my wrestling fandom to be able to discover that. So, and I would put that up against, anything Flair did.
How about Corey?
This is a tough one because I'm sure day to day it might change. I might think of something else, but I'm gonna kind of do one in an honorable mention. WrestleMania 19, that was from the Seattle, the stadium in Seattle. Brock Lesnar and Kurt Angle. Yes, I know the finish got botched, but I just remember watching that. I was in college. We got it on pay-per-view in my college dorm, which was kind of a big deal. Just watching it with friends, some of whom weren't as big wrestling fans as others. But just seeing that stadium, all the excitement thinking Brock was going to do the shooting star, kind of leading up to it, everybody kind of thought he would, pull it off for the first time in a WWE ring, or at least on TV. And obviously he didn't, but it's still just a cool memory, and just being there with friends and watching it. And there were some good matches on that card, just some good stuff all around. John Cena did a big rap. He didn't wrestle on the card, but he did a rap, and then kind of the over that next year is his first kind of the start of his first big push and everything. Just a lot of cool things coming out of that. And then honorable mention, for especially if we want to call this a live memory, the IPW 20th anniversary show. It was their first show back in person after the pandemic. Just a really cool show to be there. Chad let us join backstage, which was a lot of fun. And some great matches. Cool to see a lot of the IPW legends come back. And think just the fact that it was, again, the first show after fans were allowed back in person. It was just a really cool atmosphere. People were excited. It was at the Forte Center, which I always loved going to shows there. And yeah, so just a lot of cool memories out of that show.
I agree, Corey. Thank you for sharing that. Tim.
It's a tough question. I'll go with stuff that I kind of saw live that kind of blew me away, and I guess the one that would probably come to mind would be the Flair Funk I Quit match in Troy, New York, that I went to with my parents. We were sitting there. We had about I think we were about 4 or 5 rows deep at ringside, and I just remember that match just blew my mind. I was just like, holy crap, this is, without doing a lot of gimmicky stuff, that it was just a violent fight, and it was great. Probably the only other thing that comes to mind immediately would be the going to WrestleMania, and it's the only WrestleMania I've gone to, and it was Hogan and The Rock, and that match, just with the crowd kind of making the match and just kind of turning the Rock heel. And I mean, they those were just two great experiences. But those are the ones that come to mind immediately. Like Corey said, if you ask me tomorrow, I might remember three different things. So, but those are the two off the top of my head that will stick with me.
Yeah, this is a tough. I mean, I because I put this together not that long ago, I really didn't have time to think about any of these because I did have to jump on a webinar for work right before we started recording and answer some questions in the chat. So, man, I think again, right now, today would be the, I think it was about a 22-hour road trip we took a couple years ago. We went to, someplace in Nebraska. That's the St. Patrick's Day. Corey, do you know where this town is?
O'Neill,
Oh,
Nebraska.
O'Neill, Nebraska. And James picked up James Jeffries about, I don't know, 5 in the morning or so. Drove up to Fort Dodge, Iowa, dropped my car off, jumped in the truck, the ring truck with Travis, TS Aggressor. And we started driving. And this ain't on the border. This was, I think, about a 5 or 6 hour drive each way. We drove into town, set up the ring. They had a St. Patrick's Day parade, and they had built a float with a small wrestling ring on it so some of the guys could ride on the ring. And we went and grabbed lunch at this local diner, and then we went to the high school, did the show. It was a lot of fun, a lot of fans there, had a good time. It had been canceled due to COVID the year before, so this was actually a kind of a makeup, and they had canceled their event because of COVID, so people were excited to get back and celebrate St. Patrick's Day. And then we started driving, and this wasn't actually on St. Patrick's Day. It was like on a Saturday, adjacent to St. Patrick's Day. The other way back, we stopped in this little town, and there's a caravan of cars going back to Iowa of all the IPW wrestlers. There's probably five or six vehicles. And we found this little town that had a little bar, and I think James Jeffries could have been elected mayor of whatever that town was because we all showed up, and I mean, it was pretty much us in the bar and about, I don't know, a dozen locals, and we had a great time hanging out, got some good food and stuff, made some new friends, took off, and I don't know, rolled back here about 3 or 4 in the morning. When I got back in, it'd been a long ass day. We didn't, nobody slept in the car. We were all on the way back. We were all telling stories and listened to a lot of Steel Panther on the last few miles to have the laughter help energize us for that drive. But it was a darn good day. So, all
You know,
right.
I'm going to throw one another one in since, I figure I'm allowed like 7 or 12 honorable mentions.
Yeah,
That
I'm proud of us for being relatively low on honorable mentions tonight.
and it just popped into my head, the whole Smoky Mountain Fan Week thing.
Oh, yeah, of
I
course.
mean, all of it. I mean, it's just, almost dying in Louisville, and then meeting Travis Heckle when I didn't even know who Travis Heckle was, and the training sessions, which no one will ever see.
Unless you pay me copious amounts of money to give to the Hall of Fame.
There you go. But I mean that just that whole experience was just, so unique, and you could, I don't think you could do it today. And so that was a big one as well.
Very good. Okay, let's give this wheel a spin. You still seeing the wheel? All right. Some of these on the line, they kind of call. I'm like, really? Number four, what makes you laugh the most? I'm going to go first because I actually did think about this one. So there's a YouTube channel called Ozzy Man Reviews, and it's OZZ, like Ozzy Osbourne, but he's from Australia. And he'll put up all these videos of a lot of human calamity. Some of my favorite ones are when this goat gets loose in a town and just starts headbutting people. That just makes, I mean, I could watch that all the time. Usually, the great Homer Simpson once said, "It's funny because I don't know him." So if people are doing stupid stuff and they happen to fall on their head, I find that humorous because it's like maybe you shouldn't have done that to begin with. So, Stu, what do you think?
All right, I'm going to several honorable mentions here. MASH, especially the first 2 years, I think that's some of the best comedy ever written on American television. It is just so funny. In fact, I watched one of my favorite little snippets of that today. In more modern day, The Office, these are honorable mentions. The Office, Parks and Rec, Ron Swanson is my hero from Parks and Rec. When he was in that circular desk, it's still one of the funniest things I've ever seen on television. Oh my gosh, that was awesome comedy. And then from the 90s, I'm going to throw in Frasier because Niles was a wonderfully crafted character and worked so well with Kelsey Grammer. And I thought that show was also smart and had very good writing source, coming out of Cheers. It was could have gone either way. And it was a really, really funny show. But any of those shows, despite the fact that I've seen several of those episodes many times, I will laugh heartily. That's in my wheelhouse with a distant honorable mention to anything in the airplane genre.
Okay, Corey.
This is a topic that could change day to day, but for right now, as I think of this, I had to Google this guy's name because I just see his videos on Instagram. My wife shows them to me usually. Anthony Varela, he is from Boston and he's got that Boston accent. But what his shtick is, he finds signs that are misspelled or misprinted and reads them and just kind of plays them up. His famous one is instead of cream cheese, they spelled it cheem creams. And now he's got sells merchandise where he says, anybody got cheem creams? And he'll even sometimes take all the signs he finds for one post and like kind of string them together like a conversation. So just the creativity he does in doing that, going from one, and they could be signs that aren't even related to each other. And these are just some of the most ridiculous, misspellings. Some of those are things where in other countries they use Google Translate for the English or just bad English. And so you might get all kinds of weird things. Yeah, especially when it comes to food, the body parts and things like that. There's some funny ones out there. Another funny one, he's on YouTube and Instagram, Christian Johnson. He does a character called he does a character where he plays somebody's uncle, and he does this thing where he's looking out a window, but then he'll cut in clips of people cooking food, like from different, Instagram or YouTube, and he finds the worst recipes and critiques them. So it's supposed to be like he's watching the people making these things live. And he's got his catchphrases like, "Oh, my stomach's bubbling," or "Watch this, watch this, watch this." And he'll
Oh, I've
end,
seen that, Yahoo.
yeah. He'll usually end the segment by saying, "I'm gonna pass on, whatever dish," and then he does a fart sound at the end. My kids enjoy the farts especially, but I just find his comments very, very creative, and I almost think that people are making videos like bad foods on purpose just so he can critique them.
All right. Hey, Tim.
Well, this podcast, it makes me laugh a lot more than I usually do. That's for sure.
That's true.
I don't know if it makes anybody else laugh other than the four of us, but I do get a good chuckle out of this doggone thing every now and then. But I'll second the Parks and Recreation vote. I love that show. That was something I never watched when it was on, but then found it through just through streaming and on Peacock, because it was on Peacock. The other one that I found on Peacock too is 30 Rock, which I never watched when it was on, and now when I watch, I just think it's hilarious. So those two shows, I mean, I'd be sitting here and I'd just be watching them, on my computer. I'd just pull up an episode while I was doing something, and I would just get engrossed and just be laughing hysterically. So I love both those shows. And then, like, old Rodney Dangerfield stand-up comedy. I just love, like, stuff when he was on The Tonight Show. And I'm a complete mark for Rodney Dangerfield, and that stuff. I mean, I'll be dying laughing just listening to some of that stuff, because he's got, his own little cadence, and just the things he does. I just find it really funny. So I'd go with those. Those would kind of be the things that can still really make me laugh.
Okay. Let's give this wheel a spin. We got four questions left.
Do we have a sound effect for the wheel?
Well, I mean, there is, but it's I don't think it's being picked up by my gun. Number five. Oh, now this is going to be touching. Not touchy, touching.
Is this going to become a special episode of Uncharted
It could
Territory?
be, depending on how where we go with this. What's been your favorite day spent with one of the other or all people on this podcast? Stuart, oh, Corey, go ahead. Go
Well,
ahead,
I had
Corey.
one answer, but then I think another answer is more fitting and more timely. Chad and Emily's wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Aw.
We get to wear lucha masks and tuxes.
Thank you. Thank you. It's just our anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Thank
I'm going to have one and then an honorable mention. I'm going to have your wedding. That was a blast. And then the giant circle where we all did a Piano Man was very memorable. That was very cool. Good moment. And then the first Hall of Fame that I came to, that was a really good time. Corey wasn't there, but and that's not
No,
why it was great.
I'm
You were certainly missed, but it was just a really good time to hang out and not have any place to go or worry about. I had a few days, could stretch it out a little bit. It was just a really, really good time. And not that the Hall of Fame last year wasn't, but it's just my first time there. So you combine that with being around you guys. It was a really cool time.
All right. Tim?
I'll jump in on the wedding as well. I mean, I had a lot of fun at the wedding. And it was just, yeah, the whole, tuxes and lucha masks. I mean, how can you go wrong with that? I mean, that's how I knew. I said, okay, she's the one, definitely, for Chad, because, if she'll sit there and let us do, wedding photos and lucha masks, she's all right.
And she actually posts that one on the Facebook for our anniversary. I don't. She puts it up there.
Well, she doesn't want anybody to see our faces because we're,
Right. True, true.
perhaps not the most attractive folks in your wedding party.
I still have to check it every time to try to remember who's who.
Yeah, that's true. The other one, just because this was, one of those stories that will live in infamy, is when I used to come out and visit you before even the Hall of Fame stuff. The drunken shoot fighting was always a classic tale, and we finished our careers 1-1. We never got to do that blow off match on the scaffold. Yeah, I just just go out, drink all night, and then decide, yeah, let's just roll around on the floor and do some shoot fighting here. And oh my God, those were the days.
Oh, sorry, I
shoot.
missed
Oh
that.
yeah. Yeah, Stu,
Yep,
you could have refereed. You could have jumped in there.
Tim got choked out by a fridge.
Yeah, that was actually that's why I had that on your on the when we did cards, when Grant came
Yep.
up with that idea to do cards. I
Right.
he you had me, but I was trying to roll to my left, but I couldn't because I was trapped up against the mini fridge and I couldn't go left, and so I'm like, okay, I gotta tap out. I can't go anywhere.
Yep, and you got a good arm breaker on me.
I did.
Give it a good stretch.
Yeah, well,
Well, I mean, I'll say the wedding too. That was a fine day. Trying to think, just any of the times that we have been able to gather together, all of us at the Hall of Fame, or sometimes just a couple of us. And one that, Stu wasn't there, but our car rides with Minskoff at Galacticon, and
Oh God, yeah.
he'd be playing a new CD, like the year he brought the new Poison CDs. He was his air drumming, and he just was
Every stone
fantastic.
has its thorn.
Yep. And the Steve Minskoff shoot interview was one for the
Oh,
ages.
that was a that talk about things that'll make you laugh. I could watch that now and there'd be tears coming down
Oh
my
yeah.
face.
I have it memorized and I would still laugh.
Oh, you know what's coming, but it's just the funniest thing ever.
So, all right. Let's see what we're getting now. Number seven. No,
Yep.
wait, what happened?
It's
Good gosh.
creeping. Oh,
This creeping
this
to
thing
it.
is rigged like a Vegas
Shenanigans.
roulette table. All right, number nine.
Number nine.
Okay, so
Number
this one
nine.
I stole from an icebreaker. If you could spend a day with a fictional character, who would it be? But I changed it to, if you could spend a day with a Champions of the Galaxy character, who would it be? Corey, you look like you're ready to spill.
I always found a lot of, I don't know why this character, what it was, but I always was very intrigued by Blazing Skull. I always
Don't
thought
get too
that,
close.
I
Fire,
always thought,
fire,
yeah, fi
fire.
flaming head aside, I always thought he should be more than just like, I'm an evil flaming head guy. I thought he should be sarcastic and witty and kind of ha cha 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 cracking jokes and then killing people. But so I would, that's the version of Blazing Skull I would spend time with if I could.
The comedy Blazing Skull. That's interesting.
The dark comedy Blazing Skull. He's
There you
still gonna
go.
burn people,
He puts on
but.
a top hat and then it starts on
Right,
fire.
he's like,
All right. Well, that's ruined a character. Tim?
gotcha. As much as we hate on the Norse gods, I wouldn't mind going out to eat with Cycle Hog, or Man Mountain. Because you're going to walk up to that buffet and they're going to be locking those doors,
Right.
seeing him coming. So that would at least, you're going to get a good meal. But yeah, that would, some of the other guys, like, I love Mayhem as a character, but I don't think I'd want to spend time with him.
No.
If he was real, any of the
Right.
gladiators, really.
Right.
But yeah, there you go. I think that would be that would be a fun day to hang out with Man Mountain
Okay.
in any of his gimmicks,
In his
psycho,
incarnations.
psycholog, whatever. Yep.
Stuart.
I was going to break it down to for a short 2-hour burst for my 20-year-old self, maybe Mayhem, just to see how crazy that would get. And I imagine that would be pretty crazy. But now, if I was hanging out with a COTG character, it would be Omega, just to get the history of everything, the perspective of a creator of the Federation, and an all-time great all rolled into one, providing he wasn't a preening ass. But in
I
my
don't
mind,
think
he's
he would
not.
be. I don't think he would. No, he'd be a good feller. Well, I did actually think about Psychohawk too, just for like the lunacy and for more of a drinking thing, though. Like you just start going drinking with him. Thought about the Greek gods, but it's like, nah, they might not be very much fun.
Proteus, you could go drinking with Proteus. You get
That's
some
true.
grog. You get some grog
You
going with
know what? And
Proteus.
I think he did have, didn't he have one of the greatest quotes in one of the handbooks ever when he told somebody, he said, "Shut up, piss face."
I believe that
Yeah.
was him,
I
yes.
mean, you can say piss face, but you can't say high crotch. Interesting. So
Yeah.
yeah, I'm gonna go drinking with Proteus, and we'll have some old fashions and grog.
There you go.
There you have it. All right. Two questions left, fans. You're almost through this. If this is the worst episode ever, it's all Stu's fault. He was supposed to come up with a topic and he failed. That's not true. All right. This is a good one. What would you title your memoir? I'll go first. Travels of the World Champion. And these guys know what the World Championship means, and I think we've talked about it.
Chad, I think that would be the best title lineage book ever.
I actually do have a title lineage somewhere.
Really?
Oh, yeah, you're still the champion.
I know, I know.
Corey, you got an idea?
Yes, actually, I would call it choreography. I've actually had that in mind for a while.
Yeah, I could tell. Yeah.
That is horrible. All right,
Okay.
Tim.
I'm completely, my mind's a blank, which would be a good name for a book
That's
about me,
it.
to be
There you
perfectly
go.
honest.
Done and done.
Yeah.
Okay. Stuart.
Go to class. I'll just leave it at
That would be my sequel. Yeah. All right, and last, maybe the most controversial of them all, what's an unpopular opinion that you have?
Unpopular.
Yeah. Tim, you can't say all of yours.
I was going to say every opinion I have is unpopular. All my opinions are unpopular with somebody.
Yeah. We'll have to bleep out everything Tim says.
Yeah, basically any go back and look at the 176 episodes before that. Yeah, that's all pretty much. No, I would, and I think this just comes to mind because I've been doing some play testing for Legends of Boxing 2 that's coming out hopefully soon. Gary Brown's game. He's had a really, it's been a fun experience going through and doing some play testing for the newer version that's going to hit the streets soon. But I've always been of the opinion that Muhammad Ali, so there was a famous fight in Rocky three,
Balboa?
Rocky three, the one with Clubber Lang. Is that Clubber
Yep.
Lang?
Yep.
Correct.
That is
So
three.
the fight was the fight where he tires Clubber out just by kind of covering up and making him punch himself out is based on a famous fight between Muhammad Ali and George Foreman, that was fought in a 100-degree jungle in Zaire. where Foreman basically came in and he was a heavy favorite, even though Ali was champion. Or was Ali champ, or was Foreman champ then, Stu?
I think Ali was champ.
Okay. But and everybody thought Foreman was going to win because Foreman just had unbelievable punching power, and he was younger, and I mean he looked great. And but I've always been of the opinion that if that would have happened at like Madison Square Garden or any indoor arena with adequate HVAC, George Foreman would have beat the piss out of Muhammad Ali, because you could even see it in the first round. And I just thought that Ali was kind of past his prime then, and I thought Foreman was going to really, really take him to school. And I think, if they weren't fighting in a humid 100-degree temperature outdoors, although you lose an iconic story, then you lose the whole rope-a-dope story, and you have a whole different, maybe you get Ivan Drago coming in Rocky III instead of having to wait another couple of years. But I've always been of the opinion that George Foreman was a better boxer than people gave him credit for, that his endurance was better than people gave him credit for, because people just always kind of point to this fight. And I'm like, it was in a, it was humid and it was like 100 degrees. I mean, but the greatness of Ali is coming up with that strategy, mid, in like the second or third round, saying, hey, because he wasn't having any fun either. But I've always been of the opinion, though, that Foreman was a much better fighter at that point, and probably would have cleaned Ali's clock. So, but that just, like I said, I've been doing the playtesting for that game, so that just kind of comes to mind. I don't know how unpopular it is, but it's against the norm, I guess.
Stu. And let me correct myself. Foreman was the champ. He was
Okay.
undisputed champ. So
Okay.
Ali won the title.
Because he had won
Okay.
it from he had won it from Frazier or
Frazier.
somebody. Yeah.
Yeah. When he knocked Frazier into orbit.
Yeah.
Right. Stuart, do you have an unpopular opinion?
I probably have several. But I'm one of the few people I have this love-hate relationship with the NFL. And I am personally, I love pro football. I always have, but I think it's too big for its britches. I think it's suffocating the sports landscape in America. I'm tired of it. It's kind of bullyish tactics that it uses on other sports. I'm tired of the fact that we had 300,000 people there watching men come across the stage in suits for the NFL draft. I mean, everything's so overblown. And I just kind of wanted them to get their comeuppance. I don't know why that festers in me, but I just am kind of tired of the NFL. I get more of my fix in football from college football. Not that that doesn't have a thousand other problems, but that is something certainly on the sports landscape that is, I'm sure I'm in the minority, but I don't know.
What
NFL
about
is
the UFL? Are you pro St. Louis Battle Hawks?
I've
They're like
watched
setting attendance
reluctantly
records
about
down
30
there.
seconds.
Yeah.
I like it from a nostalgic standpoint because I did like the USFL. Yeah, no, not a big UFL fan. And again, I'll watch NFL every Sunday, but I also equally despise it. So there you go.
All right. Corey.
Well, I was debating to pick one without getting in too many fights. But Stu kind of reminded me of one that I have, and it's another sport, the NBA. I just think the players there are overpaid and not just overpaid, but they're just not the level that people think they are. I just think. And I don't watch it much. I have not watched an NBA game in years, but the last time I did, I was very unimpressed. It just disappoints me how many young athletes, put their hopes in it. They drop out of college or don't go into college at all just to try to get into the NBA right away and spend so much time, effort, and money trying to make it. And there are only so many slots. And even those that do make it, I did kind of watch basketball in the early 90s during the Jordan years and some of that. I was never, a hardcore fan, but I did enjoy it and watch it with friends. And I just think of the players back then. It seems like the players now are not the same caliber. And maybe I'm wrong, but that's just kind of my opinion as far as I think they're just overpaid.
All right. Well, I'm going to say I'm going to give myself an honorable mention, but I'm going to go with my number one first, which is I think youth travel sports are the biggest waste of time and money. People think they're going to get their kids into a college scholarship. It's like,
Amen.
just save all the fucking money you're spending every weekend and put that in a 529. There, your kid can get a fucking PhD with that
Amen.
shit, you know?
That is
But,
our generation's biggest F up.
yep. And
tied into that, my neighbor, Trent, has a podcast with his twin brother Trey, and it's called Ref Bros because they're both are officials in the state of Iowa in baseball, football. And for this year's baseball season to work all the games in the state of Iowa, they need 800 referees. They have about 300. And it's because, and this is not unique to the state of Iowa, I just don't know the statistics. It's because everybody has put such importance on these youth sports that the pipeline for referees and officials has dried up because people get spend their weekends getting shouted at by all these dumb fuck parents who don't know the rules. I can guarantee you, usually the loudest person complaining about a play in any sport doesn't know shit about the rules. And so now there's nobody to ref. And you have a hard time finding coaches. And if you're doing like simple rec league stuff with, you travel 20 miles to play another town, that's one thing. But when you're going four states away every freaking weekend, it's like, at what point is it still fun? And maybe it is, because that ties into my other unpopular opinion, which is like, be cool. If it doesn't affect your life, don't bellyache about it. It doesn't affect my life, except I do see these problems at youth wrestling tournaments. And I see these problems when we can't have officials for, little league games. And, Carter hasn't played little league for a couple of years now, but it was a problem then. And, Connor umpired youth sports. He was an umpire for baseball. He was a referee for football and basketball. And when he moved over to Iowa City, I'm like, well, you could probably do some of that on the side. He goes, no way, I'm not doing that. He goes, all these people yelling at you, it's terrible,
I know
he
Minskoff used to say some things about, just in
yeah.
the, little league, just talking about how parents are like, my kid should be playing third base. And maybe
Right.
he says, your kid can't make the throw from third base to first. That's
Yeah.
why he's not playing third base.
Yeah, I had a parent say, when Connor was little, and it was one of his classmates, and the mom's like, do you think, well, why can't he play in the infield? I'm like, he doesn't pay attention. He's going to get hit by a ball and fucking die. I'm trying to protect your kid because he's got his head up his ass. I said it a little more politely than that, but.
I mean, I look too at some of the costs. I mean, because obviously I don't have kids, so I don't have to worry about it. But I mean, I look at the cost of some of the, especially in this area with hockey. I mean, hockey equipment. Oh my God, that stuff is so expensive. Just buying your kid the gear. Forget about the whole, the travel teams and all of that. Just buying the kid the gear and trying to find ice time for your teams. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it's just, you got kids that are going to these games at like, I got a buddy of mine that's playing in like a rec league that's playing at like 11 o'clock at night because they just can't get ice time. It's nuts.
Okay. Well, that wraps it up, fans. Hopefully you stayed with us the whole thing. If not, you know what? We had fun, so that's okay. You can take the night off. So now we're going to get to shout outs. Corey, what do you got?
Thank you, Chad, and thank you for hosting. Want to give attention to the other PhilSinger Games content providers out there, Grandpa Choco and the Solo Promoter YouTube channel and podcast. Dave Little at Heartland Championship Wrestling, Brock Atkinson at Brockster Builds, as well as Brock and Mike's PhilSinger Games Character Spotlight. Brad Plays on YouTube, as well as Lee Longpre's YouTube channel. Thank you all for putting out content.
I think it's Brad
And
Plays 81.
Brad Plays 81. Thank you. I didn't have my list tonight, that was pretty good going off memory.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Brad Plays 81. Check him out on YouTube as well. And hope everybody can make it. And if you can't make it to the Road to Galacticon, still sign up because you'll get a great card. And thanks everybody for clicking, listening, and downloading.
And I think you'll actually get two great cards, or maybe even three. We just know about one, and we don't want to make claims about the others. So, although I guess we know about two. We know about two of the three.
That is true. Two. Yes,
But
two.
we don't know if there is a third. Yeah, that's a conundrum. All right, Stuart.
Had nothing.
Oh.
Anything to shout out to? I've
That's
been
okay.
racking my brain here the last hour. I got nothing.
You want to
So
do the t-shirt promo tonight? I
I don't
mean,
even think I could pull that off.
you could pull it off like a t-shirt, like the one you throw on the floor, because it's not as good as a TKO store t-shirt. That's TEEKO store.com, motherfuckers. Woo! There.
Hey, do you think Cyclohawk can fit into a TKO t-shirt?
They got triple. What's that? 15? Triple, 18. Extra large, just for
18X.
Cyclohawk.
You can get a bunch of them and just sew them together too.
Yeah.
That's even better because we might, you buy like 14, you buy 14 of those t-shirts at tkostore.com. You take them, you sew them all together so they'll fit you. I mean, that makes us even more money. We
Yep.
might get like 3 cents out of that deal.
There you go. There you
Closer to
go.
retirement, baby.
That's it.
Other than that, good night, Denmark.
All right. Good night, sweet Prince of Denmark. Tim.
Well, with the t-shirt promo out of the way, I just want to thank Chad because he kind of put me a while back. He kind of put me in touch with this Kickstarter for a thing called Lords of Baseball. It's a tabletop game where you basically set in, I believe, the early 1900s, 1911, I believe, is the first year, and so it's a really cool game where you're managing all different aspects. It's not like a baseball game where you have cards with real players or fake players and you're playing games. You're managing a baseball team. You're worrying about, your stadium. You're worrying about your payroll. You're worried about spring training and acquiring good players. And the season is part of it, but it's not the only part of it. It's like you're managing this whole team, like you're an owner of the team. It sounded like a great game. So I backed it, and just recently I got the game finally. That kind of took a while. There were some supply chain issues, I'm sure. And there were some glitches that they found along the way that they fixed, but I've actually got it out of the box and played it a little bit, and I think it's a really fun game. I'll probably bring it with me to the Hall of Fame, in case anybody wants to try it out if you're not necessarily down with doing all the tournaments and things that'll be going on there, then let me know, and we'll find a room somewhere, and we can set up a Lords of Baseball season with a few teams. Other
Great.
than that, I mean, I just want to say, thanks to everybody for listening, especially to this episode, because we didn't even know if we wanted to listen to this episode because we had no clue what was going on. So there you go. It was a surprise to everyone. And sometimes those are the good things. So hopefully this is one of the good ones. But other than that, that thanks, and we'll be back again next time with episode 178. Oof, we're getting up there.
All right. Well, I want to take the time to thank everybody who commented on episode 176. Malice Lover, Lee, Kevin T. Butcher, Travis 605, TTX, Pete, the BMAC, Matt, Sinestro 24, The Faction, and Throwing Toasters. Thanks for listening, and thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to comment on the show. Hopefully you enjoyed it. I love that there was a lot of Mr. X discussion on there, and perhaps a little bit of enthusiasm for colorizing Mr. X down the road. Perhaps on Sunday you will see his cousin Senor X as the giveaway for oh yeah, Corey, help me. I don't know what it is.
That would be Senor Equis.
All right, very good. From Corey's mouth to his lips or something, I don't know. Anyways, Senor Equis. If he had a twin brother, then he could be Dos Equis. Ba-dum-bum. Man, started off hot and continued for a whole hour and 10 minutes. Anyways, other than that, hey, we got the Hall of Fame coming up July 18th through 20th in Waterloo, Iowa. You should be there because there's a lot of awesome stuff going on. And I might see some of you in a couple of weeks at the Herb Simmons SICW Hall of Fame event in St. Louis, Missouri, May, fuck, I don't know, 18th, I think. Lots of big guests there. That'll be fun. Other than that, I think it's time to wrap this thing up. So everybody's out there, stay safe and be excellent to each other. And we'll see you next week on Uncharted Territory. Peace out.
Hey promoters, it's Corey again, and we would love to hear from you. Please send us your questions, topic suggestions, or any other comments, and we might include your audio in a future episode of Uncharted Territory. There's two ways you can do it. You can go to tinyurl.com/UNCTER. Again, tinyurl.com/UNCTER. You can click the message button and record up to a 1-minute message, and we can include that in a future episode. Or you can email us either audio or a written question at our email address, utpodcast2020@gmail.com. Again, utpodcast2020@gmail.com. Want to show your friends that you listen to Uncharted Territory? Well, head on over to our store at tkostore.com/collection/uncharted-territory. You can choose from a shirt or hoodie with Travis Heckle's great podcast cover artwork, or a shirt with a design inspired by one of our favorite bands. While there, check out the other great merchandise at TKO, including shirts of several of the top MMA fighters, including Bigfoot Silva, Tim Sylvia, Ensign Inoue, and more. Need a shirt made for your event or organization? Contact TKO, run by Filsinger Games promoter Justin Bulka, aka Pike Mojo, to place your order. Again, that's tkostore.com, TEEKOstore.com.
Insert wolf music.
It is a bare bones run sheet. I see that.
It definitely is.
At about 5:35, I'm thinking, let's just cancel. I don't got shit. But
yeah,
like, nope. And then I had an epiphany.
Nice.
Instead of a colonoscopy.
You can get a shot for that, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think penicillin will help.
Mm-hmm.